179. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, I was thinking about this song, and I was just thinking about the concept of it. What a friend we have in Jesus. Is Jesus your friend? Yeah, I was in John chapter 15. I believe it's John 15 and 15. He says, we'll read, 13, we'll start at 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. Here's that big word, if, right? If ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. And I just want to pay attention to that. Yes. They were his servants. You know, when they came across Jesus and they recognized him as being the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world, and they listened to John's preaching, and then they realized, wow, this is the Christ. You know, they decided to follow him, and they followed him as servants. And something happened throughout the duration of their experience with Jesus that they went from just being servants of his to, he says, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And so Jesus is now saying, you're my friends. And the way that he characterizes that is what they know about him. Or what they know about what his purpose is, or what they know about what he's working, or how he's working in the world or in their lives. And that friendship came about through an intimate knowledge of Jesus, and an intimate knowledge of him knowing them, and them being aware of what he knows of them. And so Jesus wants to be our friend. And Jesus can be our friend. But something has to take place in our relationship for it to get there. For it to be able to go from just being a servant of his to being a friend of his. And I was thinking about how, let's read Proverbs 18. You know, a lot of times people will characterize a family relationship, perhaps, as being one of the closest relationships that you'll ever have. But yet there are brothers that can't stand each other. And there are sisters that are, you know, blood relation, that can't seem to get along, you know what I mean? That don't really have a close bond, that aren't really friends. Okay, now you can have a very close relationship with your brother, or you can have a very close relationship with your sister, because you grow up in the same house. You can literally get to know each other better than you can get to know anyone else, maybe aside from maybe a spouse in the future. And so there's the potential for that to be a really great relationship, a really great bond. But it's going to transfer from being just brothers or being just sisters to also being friends for that to take place. In Proverbs 18, it says, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so when I take that second portion of that scripture, there is such a thing as a friend that's closer than even a brother relationship. And I mean, my boys, They're going to be brothers their whole life. There's no turning around from that. But my prayer for them, my sincere desire for them is that they would take that brother relationship and become very good friends. And develop an intimate relationship with one another, because they're going to be able to know each other better than maybe anyone else would know them. And I think that's part of what increases our ability to have friendships. If you want to have friends, this scripture says, you must show yourself friendly. Amen. What does that mean? I have to be nice to people? Well, yeah, it does mean that a little bit. But what makes up a friendship is the give and take of intimate information about one another. And if I want to really be close to somebody and have a really good relationship with them and create a bond with them, I may have to be willing to be vulnerable a little bit. And be willing to show myself friendly in the sense where I'm willing to perhaps expose some things that are going into my life rather than just, hey, it's raining outside today, or wow, the sun is out, you know, or how are the fish biting today, you know? And it could go much deeper than that. And we can talk about what's really maybe going on in our lives on a spiritual level, an intimate level, an emotional level, and be able to let somebody into our life at that level. And that is what is really going to bring about a close bond with somebody, a true friendship. And so the scripture says that if we would like to have friends, we must first show ourselves friendly. And if we would want Jesus to be our friend, we can't just say, well, he knows everything there is to know about me already. Yeah, maybe he does. But there's something to us revealing it to him. There's something to us divulging that information. There's something to us being able to pray to God and expose our heart to him and saying, Lord, this is what's going on in my heart. This is how I feel, or this is the struggles that I'm having, or this is what I don't really understand, you know. Being able to give all that to the Lord and verbalize it increases our ability to be friends with him. Because then he can share with us in his word, or he can empathize with us, but he can show his compassion or his mercy or his grace in that struggle. And he can give us then ways of overcoming those battles that we're facing in our lives. But the whole aspect of it is to bring about an intimacy with God. And that is how the Lord really can become our friend. You know, Let's go a little bit further. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 and 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. And I believe that this is, again, one of those scriptures that kind of identifies something to us, that the benefit or the how a friendship could even supersede that of a blood relation. You know, most of the time, you wouldn't really think twice about calling your brother if you're in need. You know what I mean? If you're broke down on the side of the road, you would call your brother probably. I mean, Brother Dan and his brother Ron, they would call each other, I'm sure. You know, and they've developed a relationship like that as they grew up. Not a big deal, you know. But it's not very often that you're going to find someone that calls their acquaintance when they're broke down on the side of the road, right? Somebody that they know. No, they're going to call their friend at best, right? Because they know that their friend at least is going to be willing to go through some adversity for them. They're willing to maybe put themselves out some. Hey, I was busy, but you know, I see you're stranded, and I'm going to drop what I'm doing. And I'm going to come help you. You know, you rely somewhat on that relationship. And here he's saying that you can depend on a neighbor that's near, or a friend that is just down the road, and you don't even need to have to call your brother that's 50 miles away. You can call that friend, and that friend, that relationship that you have with them, can be even stronger or more beneficial to you than even that of a brother. And it's not to diminish the brother relationship at all, because it is a strong bond. It's a huge blessing for those that have siblings like that. But it's not guaranteed in a sibling or in a blood relation. Like I said, there are brothers that they can't even get together to even have a meal together because they can't get along. And I know that maybe is hard for some people to fathom or even to comprehend, but it's the facts. There are blood relations that can't even hardly stand each other. But it need not be that way. Those same relationships, if they would be willing to go into friendship and be friends as well, they could have a even stronger bond. It reminds me, actually, and I hadn't thought about this before, but if you remember Paul writing to, I think it was Philemon, he was talking about, he was going to ask Philemon to basically forgive Onesimus. And I believe there's a scripture that identifies that Onesimus was his blood brother. And Paul recognizes it and says that, he says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that it, in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in my bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. I'm trying to find out where... right here in verse 16. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but now much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So he tells him right then that this is your brother, not just in the flesh, but in the Lord. And so now, although Onesimus was Philemon's brother all along, and they obviously had difficulties and struggles and problems, and that Paul had to write in Onesimus' behalf, but now he tells him, look, now you have not just a brother in the flesh, but you have one in the spirit. And basically you have that blessing to be one with him again. Brothers, you don't choose your brothers. You don't choose your sisters. They're automatic, right? You grew up with them. You know, you didn't ask for them. Maybe you didn't. You know, they're automatic. And so those are relationships that you are essentially stuck with. But a friend is chosen. You choose to have friends. Or you choose to be a friend. And just like those brothers that maybe didn't choose each other, they can choose to be friends. They can choose to treat each other with respect and honor, and they can be kind to one another. They can support each other. They can encourage each other. They can strengthen each other. They can be a bond that's what you would call maybe an unbreakable bond with one another. But they have to choose to be friends for that to take place. Let's go to First Samuel. One of the scriptures that I often think about when I think about friendships would be a passage like this one in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And it's referring to the friendship between David and Jonathan. It says in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." So that right there is a prelude into their relationship. It shows that they had an utmost respect for one another and an honor for one another. And basically, Jonathan at that point had chosen to be David's friend and his companion. And it got to even to the point where that friendship was in jeopardy because Saul, his father, wanted to kill David. And Jonathan couldn't believe it. He couldn't even understand that that was even a possibility that his dad would do that. Because he knew David. He knew the way David conducted himself. He knew the type of person David was. And it didn't make any sense to him why his dad would want to try to attack him or kill him or anything like that. And David said, "Look, I don't know, but I know the fact that he is chasing me down right now." And Jonathan said, "Well, let me look into it." But because their relationship was so strong, because their relationship was founded in an intimate knowledge of one another, because Jonathan knew David, and he knew that he was not the man that his dad was claiming he was, and that he deserved to be killed. And because of that, Jonathan was able to go against his father. And even go against his own success, to go against his own prosperity as the next king, but instead said, "I know that God is with you, and I know that God is going to make you king of Israel." Jonathan said that. And Saul thought that was insane that he would do that. He said, "Don't you even know that you're saying that against your own self?" But Jonathan didn't care. Because David was his friend. And essentially you could say that Jonathan gave himself up for his friend. Just like Jesus had said, no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And essentially Jonathan had done that for David. I'm going to read a few more verses. "And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and his bow and to his girdle." And so they made a covenant one to another. And I was thinking about this covenant that he had made, because we were reading in family worship the other night about Mephibosheth. I guess that's how you pronounce it. Which was Jonathan's son. And when they had gotten the news of Jonathan and his father having died in the battle, that the nurse grabbed up his son and in haste dropped him, and he broke his legs or something, or lamed him from childhood, so that he couldn't even take care of himself anymore, basically. And it says that David remembered Jonathan, his friend, and the covenant that they had made with one another. And because of that covenant that they had made, so many kings would have wiped out Saul's family, would have wiped out all of his sons and all of the heirs and everybody, so that as to not have the possibility of somebody rising up against them and trying to overthrow them in the throne and all of that. But this Mephibosheth, a cripple that many people would have called a curse probably and didn't even want him in their house, is David said, "You're going to sit at my table, and I'm going to give you everything that belonged to your father and your grandfather, all of the lands that would have belonged to them, and that's going to be yours. But you're going to sit at my table, and you'll eat at my table every night." Because of the friendship and the bond that David had with his father, Jonathan. and the covenant that they had made with one another. That is friendship and the depths of what friendship will do in our lives. The lengths that we will go for a friend. The Word of God says that that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And I believe that that does happen quite often, actually, where people literally give themselves for their friends or for the sake of their friends, not just for their family members, but even for those that are intimately close to them, that they've made a covenant of heart with them because of the intimate knowledge that they have of one another. And that bond that is developed in that is a powerful thing. You know, I think about the scriptures and how it says that they sent them out two by two. And I imagine that those two, when they are going together, they're in a sense, they were going out with the world against them. Many a times the places they went, they didn't want to hear what they had to say. Many a times I think of, you know, Paul and Silas, that they went to prison together. They were persecuted. And what did it say? They sang hymns in the prison house. They had a bond with one another, a strength that they gained from each other. I believe there was a purpose that God would send them out two by two so that they can be a strength to one another. And if one was down, the other can support them. And so it is a huge blessing to be able to have friends. But in order to have friends, we must first show ourselves friendly. You know, we talked about it. Is Jesus your friend? And that's not just me asking you, does Jesus like you? Or does Jesus have mercy on you? Or does Jesus offer you forgiveness? Or does Jesus offer you grace? Or is Jesus fulfilling all his part of a great friend? It goes way beyond that. Because he does that for everybody. Everybody could receive that if they would call out unto him and ask for his mercy and acknowledge that he bled and died for their sins. They can all obtain that. But I'm going to tell you that I don't believe that friendship with Jesus is automatic. If we want to be Jesus' friend, you know, he talked about you. I no longer call you servants, but I've called you friends. Something's happened. Something's different. We've got a closer bond now. We've got a communication thing happening now. We've developed something, a relationship, a real relationship. And it's not automatic. Just like you maybe have an automatic brother or you have an automatic sister that they're in your family. You know what I mean? And they will always be your brother or your sister, no matter what you might want to say or whatever. You can say, I don't claim you anymore, or I don't want you to be my brother or whatever. You can say all that, but it won't change a thing. They are your brother or they are your sister. But to be a friend of God or to be a friend with Christ is not automatic. But we must first show ourselves friendly. And I don't mean that to say that we have to take the first step or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. The Word of God says that He loved us before we loved Him. Right? So obviously He's already taken that. But what I mean by that, when I say that we must first show ourselves friendly, we must develop an intimate relationship with Him on our part. Yes, He knows everything there is to know about us. Yes, He knows our intentions. He knows our hearts. He knows what's going on in our minds. He knows exactly why we do something, even when we don't exactly know why we did something. But like I said before, there's something very powerful in us being able to acknowledge what's going on in our hearts and verbalizing it. You might be a friend of mine, and you may know a whole lot of stuff about me, and maybe you don't say anything about it. Maybe you know it, but you don't say anything. You're not trying to push something or do anything. But then I open it up to you. And I tell you, look, this is what I'm going through, or this is what's happening in my life. This is something that I'm struggling with, or whatever the situation might be. This is the problems that we're experiencing right now, and I'm just letting you in on this, and giving that individual an opportunity to now wide open be a support to you, or be a strength to you, or be an encouragement to you. Because now it's open. Now you've said it. And now I can respond. Or now I can interact with you about that now. Because the wall is broken. It's wide open now. And so that's a relationship thing that can be talked about. That can receive support. But if I don't ever say anything and you don't ever say anything, then really there's a struggle there on being able to encourage or strengthen each other in that. And so I really believe that, you know, what's the point of prayer if God already knows, or if God already is going to do what he wants to do? Or, you know, I mean, people can get into a big old lengthy discussion about that. But I believe that God wants us to know what we need. And he wants us to be willing to divulge that to him. To confess it with our own mouth and with our own hearts. Not for his sake necessarily, but for our own. So that we can realize and understand that it's out. It's not hidden anymore, but it's out. And now we can actually receive from God. And being able to go through it, to walk through it, or to allow him to bless us or strengthen us or encourage us. It may just be a fear, saying, Lord, I'm afraid to go there. I'm afraid to commit to that, or I'm afraid to lay it all down on the altar. Lord, I'm afraid to offer myself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. And being willing to tell him that. He already knows that. If it's something that you're battling in your heart, but by you divulging it to him, it gives him an opening. It gives him a door that he can now work with you on that, because you've divulged it, or you've brought it out. He can attempt to bring it out in us, but there is an element there where we have to let him in. Let's go to James chapter 2. James 2 and 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. So here we have Abraham, who was way back in the Old Testament, way back in Genesis, and it says that he had a relationship with God where it was able to be said of him that he was a friend of God. And how was that realized, or how was that magnified in the scriptures to show that he was a friend of God? I think about when God was about to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says, should we tell? I don't know if he used this verbiage exactly, but essentially, should we tell our friend Abraham what's about to happen, or what we're about to do? And he does. The act of friendship, and that he divulges what he is about to do, that we've heard some things about Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're going there to see if those things be true. And essentially, if they are, then it's going to be destroyed, you know. And then it gives Abraham at that point an opportunity to be able to pray to God and say, but if there's 50, or if there's 40, or if there's 30 there, will you still destroy it for 30's sake? And that is, again, bear in mind that Abraham wasn't rose up to God and like eye to eye and giving God, lessons on justice or anything like that. But he humbly came before the Lord and said, have mercy on me one more time. But if there be 20 there, how about if there's just 20? Would you spare it for 20's sake? Or even 10? And the Lord gave heed unto his friend. He said, for 10's sake, I'll spare it. But unfortunately, he didn't even find 10 there. But yet, he was still faithful unto his friend, Abraham, who was obviously, I would say, concerned about Lot and his family. And the Lord had mercy to the extent that he could in Lot's family. But there was that relationship between Abraham and God. And I believe that it hinged significantly on the intimate relationship, information that they gave one to another. Abraham giving the information that he has of himself and the desires that he has and his covenant to God. And God reciprocating and divulging intimate knowledge into Abraham about the events that were about to take place and regarding Lot and his family. And so when I ask if God or if Jesus is our friend, do we have that intimate relationship with him? Do we have that openness with him that we would be unsparing in our divulging to him of our hearts and our desires and our concerns even and whatever it might be, not with the intention that, if you don't answer this correct, I'm going to take off, but being sincere in our desire to know the truth and how he would lead us and direct us in our lives and being sincere in our love for him and understanding his love for us and his commitment to us. And having that sort of an intimate relationship with our Lord. Because that is what is offered to us. When Jesus says, I have called you friends, that is what he's saying. That we have that opportunity for that type of relationship. It's not an acquaintance. It's not automatic. But it's something that can be developed. It can be increased in that. Our relationship with the Lord can get more intimate, more close than it is even now. And the Lord wants that. Just like you can get closer to your spouse or you could get closer to your sibling and develop a deeper bond with them, we can do the same with the Lord. And he wants to do that in our lives. Again, we read the scripture in John where it says, no greater love than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And Jesus did that. He laid down his life for his friends so that they could have an opportunity at life, so that they can have salvation and deliverance. And so when we think about giving ourselves in relationship with Jesus and we want to make him our friend, he's already done his part and he's given his life for us. Are we willing to give our life then for him? Are we willing to step out on our side of it and make ourselves friendly unto Christ by being willing to offer ourselves in sacrifice? And what I mean by that is that we maybe would sacrifice what we would perhaps prefer to do in the flesh or prefer to do in a carnal sense and instead rather do what God or what our friend would have us to do, that which would be pleasing unto him. And it's not just us trying to be people pleasers or pleasers of Jesus, but it's when we decide to do that which is according to his will, it's because it's the right thing to do. It's not just trying to be friends. It's not just trying to keep from having problems with him. But ultimately, what he wants us to do is the best thing to do. But are we willing to offer ourselves, so to speak, or are we willing to die for the sake of our friend and for the relationship that we can have with him that doesn't just take place here and now? It can take place right now. That friendship, that intimacy that we can have with the Lord doesn't have to wait for us to get to heaven for it. We don't have to wait for that perfect environment of a heavenly kingdom to experience that. But we can have it right now in Christ. And he wants us to have it with him. And he wants us to dig in deep into that relationship with him. He wants to, you know, I think about the scripture where it says, what did he say? Examine me, O Lord. That's like, look into my heart. It's like, I'm open before you. I'm giving you full access to look inside me. If I have to let you know where it's at, then I'll do that as an endeavor to be friends with you, or as an endeavor to be completely forthright with you to help our relationship grow. Examine me, O Lord. But then we also say, Lord, I think of Moses, and he said, show me your glory. You know, just show me. And that is, I believe, a desire on our part to know all that we can know about God and who he is and how he operates and so that we can, again, be just like he is. And having a to and from kind of a deal going on there where we can be intimate with him and he can be intimate with us, and we can develop a strong bond with one another that cannot be broken. That there's no way anybody can say anything that would hinder our relationship or cause me to think that God is anything other than what he has revealed himself to be to me. So that the devil is not able to talk to me and say, well, you're God this or you're God that, or, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah, God really blessed you this week. You got a flat tire and a messed up transmission and you ran out of gas and your pump quit on you. And yeah, your God really cares, right? Yeah, he does care about me. And even though I went through all those things, you know, you can really just see his hand in it. The none of it came into my face like a blunt force object, you know what I mean? And he's helping me through it all. You know what I mean? The Lord's going to see me through it all. That tire's going to get fixed. I've got gas in that truck already, right? Because the Lord has blessed me to be able to put gas in it. And it's already at the shop, and it's going to be taken care of. And I don't really need to stress and worry about all of that, because not only do I see the hand of God up until this point, but I know his hand is in my life going forward. And he's going to be with me. And if something else happens, guess who I'm calling? I'm going to call the Lord about it. Yes. Say, Lord, you know what? I am actually stranded on the side of the road, and I need you to help me out. I need you to bless me and give me wisdom to know what to do and how to get through this situation and to have a good attitude about it. Help me to have peace within my heart about it. Help me not to get stirred up over it or to get anxious about it or to worry about it or to fret over it. Help me, Lord, to trust in you and to believe in you in this circumstance too. And that again is developed through that relationship that we have in him. I know my friend. And he ain't abandoning me. He's not leaving me off to the side. He's not forsaking me, no matter what the enemy might try to say. But my friend is with me. And the reason I know that is because I know him. Yes. Just like Jonathan knew David. No, Dad, you can say whatever you want to say. But David's not conspiring against you. David's not trying to overthrow you. David's not talking about you behind your back. David's not stirring up some court of a coup or whatever. I know David. And you're letting the devil talk to you. And he knew that so much so that he was willing to tell David, go ahead and run, brother. Because you're right. My dad is out to get you. I don't know why he's doing it. But I want you to be safe. And he sent him on his way. And it was because he knew him. And that'll be the same true for us. When we know the Lord, that the devil can't come with us, to us with anything. Because, I know my God. And he's got me. He's been with me all the way till now, and he'll be with me tomorrow and the next day. I want to be a friend of Jesus. Yes. I know that he's a friend. I know that he's fulfilling his portion of that. He's done his side. But I want to let him in and be a friend to him. Appreciate your prayers.